Thank you, Mr. Babcock. Good morning, everyone. It's been a very unusual March, as Mr. Babcock was mentioning. It's already, you know, usually I try to get out in the mornings in the summertime so I don't have the heat of the day. You're already having to start that now. It's so hot in the afternoons. If you went up to the average man on the street and said, I'm going to be observing the NTBMO, they wouldn't know what you're talking about. That's an acronym unique to the Church of God. But we have this custom that hardly any other churches are even aware of, the night to be much observed. The next Friday night, April the 6th, we'll be gathering in small groups in homes, restaurants, and here at Riverfield to keep the night to be much observed. This is just one of the ways we observe and participate in the Passover and the Days of Unleavened Bread. So today, I want to look at the five W's of the night to be much observed in a little different order than usual. First, we'll look at the why, then the when, the where, the who, the what, plus the how. So why do we keep the night to be much observed? You know, as I mentioned, it's very unheard of out in the world. I'd never heard of it until I started attending with the Church of God. You know, even our Holy Day booklet does not specifically mention this portion of the Spring Holy Days. But it is really a very important part of the Feast of Unleavened Bread. Just a few scriptures mention this observance, and today I want to look at some of them. First, turn to Exodus 12, verse 31. Exodus 12, verse 31. Exodus 12. Then he, that being Pharaoh, called for Moses and Aaron by night and said, Rise and go out from among my people, both you and the people of Israel, and go serve the Lord as you have said. Also take your flocks and your herds, as you have said, and be gone and bless me also. And the Egyptians urged the people that they might send them out of the land in haste, for they said, We shall all be dead. For going through the 10 plagues and the loss of their firstborn, they were ready for the Israelites to get out of Egypt. So the people took their dough before it was leavened, having their kneading bowls bound up in their clothes on their shoulders. Now the children of Israel had done according to the word of Moses, and they had asked from the Egyptians articles of silver, articles of gold, and clothing. And the Lord had given the people favor in the sight of the Egyptians, so that they granted them what they requested. Thus they plundered or spoiled the Egyptians. And one commentary I read said that this may have taken place over a long period of time. It just wasn't there at the last minute before they departed. It was actually something that may have been happening for several weeks before. Then the children of Israel journeyed from Ramses to Succoth, about 600,000 men on foot besides children. A mixed multitude went up with them also, and flocks and herds, a great deal of livestock, and they baked unleavened bread, unleavened cakes of the dough which they had brought out of Egypt, for it was not leavened, because they were driven out of Egypt and could not wait, nor had they prepared provisions for themselves. Now the sojourn of the children of Israel who lived in Egypt was 430 years. And it came to pass at the end of the 430 years, on that very same day, it came to pass that all the armies of the Lord went out from the land of Egypt. It is a night of solemn observance to the Lord for bringing them out of the land of Egypt. This is that night of the Lord, a solemn observance for all the children of Israel throughout their generations. And so there's the key scripture for why we keep this night. You know, go back over the verses. Pharaoh finally relented after suffering the loss of all the firstborn in the land and practically begged the Israelites to get out. He even gave the Israelites great wealth. And we see that that was a fulfillment of the covenant with Abraham back in Genesis 15. Genesis 15, verses 13 and 14. Genesis 15, verse 13. Then he said to Abram, "Know certainly that your descendants will be strangers in the land that is not theirs, and will serve them, and they will afflict them 400 years, and also the nation whom they serve I will judge. Afterward they shall come out with great possessions." So here, God, this was promised to Abraham 400 years before. The Israelites then took their unleavened dough, because they had to leave so quickly, and used this to make unleavened bread while they traveled. And then they departed from Egypt, starting from the gathering place of Ramses. And as I mentioned, verse 42, it's a night of solemn observance to the Lord for bringing them out of the land of Egypt. This is that night of the Lord, a solemn observance for all the children of Israel throughout their generations. Here we have a command for the Israelites to observe this event throughout their generations. We observe it today because we are all spiritual Israelites, regardless of our nationality or physical race, which we sang about in our one of our opening songs. And just one reference to back that up, Galatians 6, 16. Galatians 6. Says, and this was just in the closing comments of the book of Galatians, Paul wrote, "And as many as walk according to this rule, peace and mercy be upon them and upon the Israel of God." So he referred to the church as the Israel of God. And so this is something we would do because God commanded his people to observe it for all time. You know, Exodus 12:42 has been translated in different ways by various versions of the Bible. The New King James Version, which I was reading from in the margin, also says it was a night of vigil. And the Revised Standard Version calls it a night of watching. And the word is translated as observe in the King James Version. And the New King, the Hebrew word translated as observe, is S-H-I-M-M-U-R, which means to keep a night watch or a vigil. The NIV probably has the best translation, because it really brings that out. "Because the Lord kept vigil that night to bring them out of Egypt, on this night all the Israelites are to keep vigil to honor the Lord for the generations to come." So it also reminds us that God watches over us, and that we also must remain watchful for the rest of our lives to not return to sin. Another major reference to this night is in Exodus, in the next chapter. You know, the night to be much observed mention is kind of interspersed with the scriptures regarding the Passover and the days of unleavened bread. Let's look at Exodus 13, verses 3 and 4. "And Moses said to the people, 'Remember this day in which you went out of Egypt, out of the house of bondage, for by strength of hand the Lord brought you out of this place. No leavened bread shall be eaten on that day you were going out in the month of Abib.'" So here we are told to remember. In Exodus 12, we're told to observe the day. Here we're told to remember the day you were brought out of Egypt. You know, years ago in the church, and I still, my automatic way to describe this night is the night to be much remembered, but the official church papers call it the night to be much observed. I'm sure that that reference to remember goes back to this Exodus 13, 3 and 4. You know, in the same way as they were told to remember their being brought out of Egypt, we're to remember when we started out of sin, which is a type of Egypt. So remember both when Israel was delivered from Egypt and when we were delivered from a life of sin at our baptism. Let's look at 1 Corinthians 10, verses 1 through 6. 1 Corinthians 10. First Corinthians 10, verse 1. "Moreover, brethren, I do not want you to be unaware that all our fathers were under the cloud, all passed through the sea, all were baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea, all ate the same spiritual food, and all drank the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. So here we have another indication of Christ was there with them when they departed out of Egypt. But with most of them, God was not well pleased, for their bodies were scattered in the wilderness. Now these things became our examples to the intent that we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted. And there's, I'm not going to go into that, but you know, they had problems with really thinking back to some of the good things they had in Egypt and wanting to go back there at different times. And I was reading a commentary on the mixed, you know, that talked to the mixed multitudes who went out with them. Nobody really knows who were these mixed multitudes. Why did they attach to the Israelites? Did they think, well, they're getting ready to go on a trip. Is this just a good idea? You know, why did they have all of these people that weren't Israelites to go out with them? And, of course, later on, as if they got into the hard times, they were the ones that started murmuring and mentioning all the good things they had. And one commentary said, well, they some of them went back to Egypt during the Exodus. I'd never thought about that. Well, some of them may have backtracked and went back. There's several other references to remember, all tied into the spring holy days, and just wanted to look at a few of those. Remembering is so important. Our memory is so important. You know, I've got right now 3 family members dealing with Alzheimer's and dementia, and so I'm around that a lot now, and I so value memory, and God values memory. He wants us to remember these things. Because, you know, I could see if I'm afflicted with that, you may forget you're even baptized at some point before you die. There's that potential. And so it's important to always remember. And God emphasizes that through the Scriptures. Let's look at Deuteronomy 5, verse 12. Deuteronomy 5, verse 12. Says, observe the Sabbath day to keep it holy as the Lord your God commanded you. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work. The seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God. In it you shall not do any work, you nor your son nor your daughter nor your manservant, etc. And then going on down to verse 15. And remember that you were a slave in the land of Egypt and that the Lord your God brought you out from there by a mighty hand and by an outstretched arm. Therefore, the Lord your God commanded you to keep the Sabbath day. So there he ties in that deliverance from Egypt to the keeping of the Sabbath. And then in Deuteronomy 16, verse 3. Deuteronomy 16, verse 3. You shall eat no leavened bread with it 7 days. You shall eat unleavened bread with it, that is, the bread of affliction. And then in parentheses says, for you came out of the land of Egypt in haste, that you remember the day in which you came out of the land of Egypt all the days of your life. So again, we're told to remember that day and tie it in. And that's the reason why we get all the leavening out of our homes, and it's to remind us to come out of sin, which is symbolized by Egypt, a type of Egypt. And then Pentecost also is tied into Egypt, remembering Egypt, the coming out of Egypt. Deuteronomy 16, verse 12, so on down to verse 12. And you shall remember that you were a slave in Egypt, and you shall be careful to observe these statutes. And then another reference is in our reminder to be charitable. In Deuteronomy 24, verse 17, you shall not pervert justice, do the stranger or the fatherless, nor take a widow's garment as a pledge. But you shall remember that you were a slave in Egypt, and the Lord your God redeemed you from there. Therefore, I command you to do this thing. When you reap your harvest in your field and forget a sheaf in the field, you shall not go back to get it. It shall be for the stranger, the fatherless, and the widow, that the Lord your God may bless you in all the work of your hands. When you beat your olive trees, you shall not go over the boughs again. It shall be for the stranger, the fatherless, and the widow. When you gather the grapes of your vineyard, you shall not glean it afterward. It shall be for the stranger, the fatherless, and the widow. And you shall remember that you were a slave in the land of Egypt. Therefore, I command you to do this thing. So again, a reminder that they were slaves at one point, and when they were blessed, then they should share those blessings with those who have less. You know, it's as I mentioned, it's so important not to have spiritual amnesia, to always remember how God called us, how we came into this way of life. Most Americans don't really know too much about their ancestry. Those that are blessed to have had that passed down, it's good. But I know I went back and was doing some ancestry and learned some things about my family background, and it was very interesting. And it wasn't things my parents or grandparents made sure they had passed down. And I think we're derelict in that a lot of times. But God, He said it, He had systems in place so that we do remember His plan and what He has done for us and has done for the Israelites anciently. So when should we keep the night to be much observed? Again, this Exodus 12:42 says that it should be kept on the same night that Israel was freed from Egypt, and that was the night that began the 15th day of the month of Abib. Let's look at Numbers 33, verse 3. They departed from Ramses in the first month, on the 15th day of the first month, on the day after the Passover. The children of Israel went out with boldness in the sight of all the Egyptians. So here it very clearly says that they left on the 15th day after having the Passover on the 14th. It was the night after the Passover, because there's a lot, some controversy about these scriptures, and some try to argue of the Passover and the night to be observed of the same night and different things. But to me, these scriptures make it very clear that the way we are observing is correct. Another element is in Exodus 12:22, talking about the Passover. Just the last sentence in that verse says, "And none of you shall go out of the door of his house until morning." And then this is talking about, if you read the surrounding scriptures, about the Passover. And then where should we keep the night? Although there's a command to keep this night, the scripture doesn't say where. Mr. Armstrong first gave guidelines way back when the Radio Church of God was started. They were keeping in small groups in homes. I found the earliest, I did some researching on the internet, first schedule I found for the Spring Holy Days from 1944, and at that time the guidelines said to keep it at home, in the homes, in small groups. But then later in the 50s, the 60s, and 70s, the church was going through very rapid growth, and the entire congregation would meet in a hall or a restaurant. You know, I've read accounts of groups as large as 2,000 meeting together. This was primarily at the headquarters. And I personally attended Night to Be Much Observed that included the church members from throughout Oklahoma. In downtown Oklahoma City, at a large hotel conference room with several hundred in attendance. And we usually had a short message regarding the night, and sometimes you'd be around the corner behind a column. You could hear the speaker over the speakers, but you couldn't see the person. And so it was a little bit impersonal because it was so scattered out. But those were enjoyable also. But then in the 80s, the church returned to meeting in small groups in homes or restaurants, which is the custom today. The United Church of God doctrinal statement on the night to be much observed states, on this evening, most members invite other members to their homes to enjoy a meal and fellowship. Others may choose to gather in a restaurant or similar location to celebrate the evening. And that's what we will be doing this next Friday night. Well, who should attend the night to be much observed? Well, the general guideline is anyone who can attend Sabbath services should attend. You know, even some of the shut-ins that normally can't attend the church services might be able to participate for at least the meal portion, if provisions can be made for that. You know, also, non-member spouses and other family members should be included. You know, it should be left up to them where they're comfortable in coming to an evening like that. They shouldn't be pressured or anything like that. But whoever does come, family members, we should be gracious to them and include them in the conversation and the fellowship, even though, you know, some of it may be about our spiritual journey and how we came into the church. And I'll be talking about that here a little bit later. The what. What can each of us contribute to make this an extra special evening? How can we assist the host and or hostess? You know, be sure to volunteer to bring a dish, unleavened bread, drinks, wine, or whatever is needed. And I know I've heard a lot of planning going on around conversations, and I know everybody is good to do that. I just wanted to reemphasize that, to be sure to help out however you can. You know, ask if help is needed early to help with the preparation and setup. You know, sometimes there's, especially for the group that will be meeting here at Riverfield, there's quite a bit of preparation to get ready for the evening. And find out if you're able to get off work early and come in and help. At the end of the evening, especially if it's held in the home, volunteer to help with the cleanup. And this includes us men. You know, sometimes we like to go off in the living room and just leave all that to the ladies. But they've worked hard to prepare the meal, and so pitch in wherever you can. The how. Go on to the how. This is the beginning of the days of unleavened bread, the first holy day of God's sacred year. One thing we need to keep in mind, that this was when Christ was crucified and he was in the grave on this night. For the first time in all eternity, a member of the God family was dead. Sorry about that. A little congestion in my throat there. Was dead, inactive, and out of the picture for 3 days and 3 nights. For even though this is a night of joy, as we share how we were delivered from sin, which is a type of Egypt, it shouldn't be treated like a party. It's a time to feast on good food and drink, to rejoice and enjoy ourselves, but not to be filled with excessive noise and over-drinking of alcohol. You know, to always remember moderation when it comes in regard to alcohol. A good practice is for the members to share how they were called and came into God's church. This is an evening in which we can draw closer to one another as we learn about each of our experiences. I remember many nights to be much observed where I learned more about a fellow member and their life experience and their calling than at any other time. So it really helps to unite us as a church, like Mr. Welch spoke about last week. And don't forget the children. Let's look at Exodus 13, 8-10. It's good for them to hear us talk about how we came into the church, but also it's good to maybe have some activities to help them understand the evening better. Exodus 13, verse 8. And you shall tell your son in that day, saying, this is done because of what the Lord did for me when I came up from Egypt. It shall be as a sign to you on your hand and as a memorial between your eyes, that the Lord's law may be in your mouth. With a strong hand the Lord has brought you out of Egypt. You shall therefore keep this ordinance in its season from year to year. And so we are to teach the children about these holy days and particularly about this night, and not just kind of shuffle them off to the side. So this is not to be treated as just a current event to remember, although it should be a special evening. It's not called the night to be remembered, just so it'll be so great you'll always remember that night. It's a night that we are to observe and remember with watchfulness and appreciation for God's plan, which starts with the physical deliverance of Israel out of Egypt and is fulfilled spiritually in each of our lives when we are called and chosen, repent, and begin our journey out of sin, which is represented by the unleavened bread. I hope this review of the scriptures related to the night to be much observed will help us to participate in the evening with a right attitude and focus on the true purpose of the night.